बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
सो विल कंटिन्यू हियर। कपिलदेव इज explaining in this section about the kind of bhakti that should be practiced by Mother Devahuti. So in the 32nd verse he mentioned that she has to practice uttama bhakti. We also matched, you know, how this verse speaks about uttama bhakti. And then he mentioned that if this uttama bhakti is practiced at the stage of bhava, then that experience of bhakti is superior to the experience of liberation. And then he says, but of course you will get liberation also by practice of bhakti. And then he gives an analogy to explain, just like digestive fire consumes food, similarly practice of bhakti will consume the subtle body and liberation is assured. So don't worry about it. So because he had mentioned in the 32nd verse about the practice of this bhakti at the stage of bhava, so he mentions, I will tell you about those people. Maybe that might inspire you to take this process seriously. So he's going to speak about the devotees at the stage of bhava. So he says, who are these people? He says, naikatmatam me sprihayanti kechin matpada seva biratamadihaha yenyonyato bhagavata prasajya sabajayante mama paurushani. He says, let me describe to you the nature of these devotees. He says, ye bhagavata, these devotees about whom I am talking to you right now, matpada seva abhirata, they are very much engaged in serving my lotus feet. They are very much inclined to serve my lotus feet. Mad ihaha, and they desire only to taste my beauty and not taste the things of this material world. Ye prasajya anyonyato sabajayante mama paurushani. And whenever they get an opportunity, they all get together and discuss my pastimes. For this reason, na ekatmatam me sprihayanti kechid. Ekatmatam here refers to impersonal liberation, sayujya mukti. Kechid na sprahayanti, never ever they desire the destination of impersonal liberation, because there they will not get the opportunity to matpada seva abhirata. They cannot engage in any service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. They cannot taste the beauty of the Supreme Lord, because they have, the senses are inactive in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. And then in the Brahma Jyoti there is no opportunity to get together and discuss Krishna Katha also. So these three things they are very much attached to. So therefore at no point do they desire to merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Kechid na sprahayanti, never ever do they desire to become one with the Brahman, or they never desire sayujya mukti at all, because it never allows them to engage in these three activities which they very much cherish within their hearts. So this is the nature of devotees at the stage of bhava. They are so free of material desires. Anya abhilashita shunyam is to such an extent that they never want to even accept the opportunity for liberation. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, little long purport, I'll just summarize. The first paragraph Prabhupada says, a pure devotee despises all the five kinds of liberation, especially he despises Saivijya Mukti, Kaivalyam Narakayate. And then he says, but why do they reject Saivijya Mukti? He says in the next paragraph, because there is greater pleasure in serving the Lord than in merging in the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. And then he says, but the Mayavadis take the pastimes of the Lord as fictitious, because how can something impersonal have activities? So if they cannot accept the form of the Lord, then they have to reject the pastimes of the Lord also, because something which is impersonal cannot perform any pastimes. Thus they mislead the public. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavada Bhashya Sunile Hoy Sarvanash. And then later he says, Bhakti is greater than liberation. That Bhakti is greater than liberation is clearly stated in this verse. Therefore Srimad Bhagavatam right from the beginning kicks out inferior religion. Like that. So here Kapila Dev says that the nature of these devotees at the stage of Bhava Bhakti is that they reject even the opportunity for Saivijya Mukti, because there is no opportunity to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, and there is no opportunity to taste the beauty of the Lord, and there is no opportunity to get together and discuss Krishna Gatha, which are their most cherished activities. And even this is a very commonly recurring theme throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Prithu Maharaj's prayers, or Dhruva Maharaj's prayers, or Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. So Prithu Maharaj, in fact, he says that Nakamaye nata tadapyaham kwachin nayatra yushmacharanambuja savaha mahattamantar hridayan mukachuto vidatsvakarnayutameshame varaha. He says, Nakamaye nata tadapyaham kwachin. He says tad. He doesn't even use the word Brahma Jyoti or anything. He says that. Don't give me that. So he says, why? Nayatra yushma charanambujasava. Because there is no opportunity to drink the nectarian beverage of your Krishna Katha there. Then he says, so then what do you want? He says, vidatsva karanayutam. Give me thousands of ears and other senses. So basically he is telling that I am rejecting that which the Mayavadis want. So they want Saivijya Mukti. You please give it to them. And whatever they are rejecting, you give it to me. They want to reject the senses. So you give me all their senses. And if you think I am qualified for Saivijya Mukti, you give them that Saivijya Mukti. I can use all the senses, and wherever Krishna Katha is happening, I can hear. Like that Prithu Maharaj is requesting. So here Kapila Dev says that my devotees, especially those at the stage of Bhava, are so exalted that they reject even this Mukti, because they don't have an opportunity to engage in discussing Krishna Katha. They don't have an opportunity to engage in my service, and they don't have an opportunity to relish my beauty. So therefore they reject this impersonal liberation. And then he says, how do I reciprocate with these devotees?
Pashyanti te me ruchiranyam basanta prasanna vaktraruna lochanani Rupani Divyani Varapradani Sakam Vacham Sprihaniyam Vadanti.
He says, Te Santaha Pashyanti. In return to this, they are willing to sacrifice even the bliss of liberation. for performing devotional service. Therefore, I reward them by Te santaha pashyanti me ruchirani arunalochanani. I allow them to take darshan of my form. Which means, I reveal myself to them. Prasanna vaktra in my smiling face. Rupani divyani. Varapradani rupani divyani. And my spiritual forms which are capable of bestowing blessings. And he says, Sakam vacham sprahaniyam vadanti. And I also engage in speaking with them. So they can see my form and they can speak with me. I give them that opportunity. So this is of course, devotees at the stage of bhava. Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu that at the stage of bhava, he says, Utpanna ratayas samyak nairvignyam anupagataha Krishna Sakshat Kritav Yogyaha Sadaka Parikirtita. He says, who are these sadhakas? Here sadhakas refers to those at the stage of bhava. They are still called sadhakas because he says, Samyag Nairvignyam Anupagataha. Because they have not completely extinguished their anarthas. So anartha nivritti is not 100% at the stage of bhava. Some anarthas due to some serious offenses previously committed are still lingering at the stage of bhava. So therefore, it is mentioned that therefore they are called sadhaka because there is scope for achieving perfection still because they have not reached the stage of prema. And at the stage of bhava, it is mentioned Utpanna ratayah, they have developed rati for Krishna or attraction for Krishna. Krishna sakshat kritav yogya. They have developed the qualification to directly see Krishna and speak with him. But because the anarthas are not completely extinguished, that experience of Krishna, seeing Krishna and speaking with him, it's a sporadic experience. It's not continuous. Whereas at the stage of prema, it is mentioned that santata prema saukya aswada parayana. He says that experience is continuous at the stage of prema because samyag nairvignyam, because completely all anarthas are removed at the stage of prema. But at the stage of bhava, this removal is not complete, incomplete, and therefore manifestation of rasa is also incomplete. Therefore the experience of seeing the Lord, speaking with the Lord is also sporadic. It's not continuous. Okay. So therefore, but nevertheless, they are Krishna Sakshat Kritav Yogya. They are qualified to see Krishna directly, speak with him directly. Those qualifications are there at the stage of bhava. So Krishna says that, or here Kapila Dev says that, I reward them by allowing them to see my beautiful form and I also engage in speaking with them. Sakam vacham sprahaniyam vadanti. They speak pleasing words with me, which means I engage in conversation with them. Of course, Mother Devahuti is already speaking with Kapila Dev. So, you should understand that, you know, he is putting her in this situation and, you know, gradually showing to others the progress of Mother Devahuti also. Just like Arjuna also, initially Krishna said, Karmanyeva Adhikaraste, 2.47. Your Adhikar is karma only. You are qualified to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. Ma Faleshu Kadachana. Ma Karma Falahetur. Ma Te Sangosta Karmani. But then later, slowly he progresses and finally he says, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Give up all these other dharmas because you are qualified for bhakti. And I will remove all your, I will take care of all the sins or obstacles for practicing bhakti. So you give up all these other dharmas. So like that, Krishna, Arjuna was originally qualified for pure devotional service only. What to speak of pure devotion? At the stage of prema, he had sakyaras with Krishna. But Krishna, for the purpose of delivering Bhagavad Gita, put him under illusion and took him through this. In 700 verses, he slowly brought him to the lowest qualification and gradually elevated him to the level of pure devotional service. Okay. So similarly here, Mother Devahuti is also an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord. But nevertheless, for the purpose of bringing out this Sankhya, Kapila Dev is putting her through this whole, you know, system of, you know, first making her desire liberation, and then gradually, you know, she herself says, you know, tell me what kind of bhakti I need to perform, so that he can speak about all these processes in detail. So he says that, you know, this is how I reciprocate with my devotees. Then later he says further, tair darshaniya vayavairudara vilasahasekshita vamasuktaihi hrutatmano hruta pranamscha bhaktir anichato me gati manvim prayungte. So he says further, hrutatmano hruta pranam, to these devotees whose minds and senses have been completely stolen by what? Tair darshaniya avayavaihi, by the attractive limbs of the Lord, vama suktaihi, by the pleasing words of the Lord, ikshita, by the pleasing glances of the Lord, hasa, by the smiles of the Lord, udara vilasa, and pastimes which fulfill all the desires. Udara means very magnanimous pastimes of the Lord. And to those devotees, me bhaktihi, my devotion, my bhakti or my energy, devotional service, anvim gatim prayungte, it awards them liberation. Anichataha, even though they do not desire it, I give them my Bhakti Devi awards them liberation. That's what he says. This is the third reciprocation. First reciprocation is, I allow them to see my form, and then he says, I allow them to speak with me, and then he says, I give them liberation also, even though they do not desire it. So here, it is explained that why would Bhakti Devi give them liberation if they don't desire it? Here, of course, this liberation refers to Sahajya Mukti. So one understanding is that it gives them that, it does not give them Sahajya Mukti, but whatever bliss is experienced at the level of Sahajya Mukti, that is given. And she gives it because people who value only Sahajya Mukti should not later say that bhakti cannot give Sahajya Mukti. The example that is given, an analogy is given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He says that there could be one very wealthy and magnanimous person who is distributing diamonds. And one person comes and he says, I heard that you are very magnanimous. What are you? Let me see what you are distributing. And he shows a bag full of diamonds. He says, what is this? Some stones only you are distributing. I thought you might be distributing some gold. Because he doesn't understand what is the value of diamond. So he thinks that gold is the most valuable thing. He said, don't worry, I distribute gold also. From another gunny bag, he removes some gold and gives it to him. Okay, go. So for those people who might think that Sahajya Mukti is the most valuable, and it should not, they should not think that bhakti cannot give Sahajya Mukti, so it's not a very worthy process. So therefore, Bhakti Devi makes a show of offering them Sahajya Mukti also. She does not actually offer them, because they consider it as naraka. pure devotees. Another understanding is that anichchataha, why they do not desire? Because out of their natural humility, the devotees feel that they are not qualified for liberation. Here, in the second understanding, Anvim Gatim refers to Vaikuntha or the spiritual world. The pure devotees, they don't think that they are qualified to go to spiritual world out of their natural humility. But still, Bhakti Devi offers them that abode of spiritual world. That's another understanding. Then, he says,
Ato vibhutim mama maya vinastam aishvaryamashtangam anupravrittam shriyam bhagavatim vasprihayanti badram parasyameteshnuvate tu loke.
So the third is, he gives them liberation. The fourth, he says, te, these devotees, asprihayanti, they never desire mama maya vinaha vibhutim, the attainment of happiness of the material universe piled up by maya or awarded by maya. Aishwaryam ashtangam anupravrittam, or the yoga siddhis which is offered by the ashtanga yoga, or which follows bhakti also. Bhakti also can provide ashta siddhis, can be provided by bhakti also. Krishna says in Uddhava Gita, yat karma bir yat tapasa jnana vairagyatashchayat yogena dana dharmena shreyobir itarairapi sarvam madbhakti yogena madbhakta labate anjasa swarga apavarga maddama katanchidyadivanchati. So he says that whatever can be achieved by karma, jnana, yoga, ashtanga, everything can be achieved by a practitioner of bhakti, by only practicing bhakti. He need not practice anything else. So even by practice of bhakti, one may get yoga siddhis also. So they do not desire any of these things, or they do not desire even residing in Vaikuntha. Badram Bhagavatim Shriyam. One understanding is, of course, because they desire only service. Salokya Sarshti Samipya Sarupya Ekattvam Apyuta Diyamanam Nagrananti Vinamat Sevanam. If seva is not there, they do not desire. All they desire is seva. That is one understanding. And another understanding is, they don't consider themselves qualified to go to Vaikuntha. But the devotees attain my planet, even though they may not consider themselves qualified for it, or they may not desire without service. But nevertheless, even just because the devotees don't desire it, the Lord does not say that, okay, you can go and perform devotional service in Naraka. So even though the devotees say, Swarga Apavarga Narakeshwapi Tulyartha Darshina, for me everything is equal, then the Lord does not say, okay, go to Naraka if it is same for you. Devotee will go, but the Lord does not do it. So he takes him back to the spiritual world and engages him in devotional service. So that is the fourth way in which the Lord reciprocates, by he awards his own dham to the devotee. So here, what exactly Kapila Dev is doing is to, he is advertising. He is advertising about what these devotees get in response to saying no to that which was very dear to Mother Devahuti before. They said no to liberation, and see what they are getting in return. They get that liberation also, and apart from that, they get so many other things. And I personally reciprocate with them in such nice ways. So like that, he is advertising about the path of devotional service, especially at the stage of bhava, at which liberation becomes very insignificant. Moksha laguta akrit. Rushing because we have just another 15-20 minutes, and we still have another 7-8 verses to complete. So then he says, but one may say, what is the big deal about achieving, what is the big deal of achieving the spiritual world? It must be like Swarga only, right? In Swarga, the nature is Shine Punye Martilokam Vishanti. It may be a higher level of amenities or facilities in the spiritual world, but eventually once the punya gets over, one has to come back. One may think like that. One may not understand that it's a permanent stay. So that is being clarified here by Kapila Dev, that such practitioners can eternally enjoy these benefits there in the spiritual world. So he says, Nakarhichin mat parashanta rupe nangshanti no me nimisho ledi hetihi yeshamaham priya atma sutascha saka guru suhrdo daivamishtam. He says, matpara shantarupe, these devotees in the spiritual world, na karhichid nangshanti, because in the previous verse he said, I gave them my spiritual abode also. And in this verse he says, those having attained that abode, what is their situation? They need not come back again. Yadgatva na nivartante taddama paramam mama. The devotees in the spiritual world, na karhichid nangshanti, are never deprived of this enjoyment which I spoke about in this last few verses. Me animisho hetihi means my wheel of time. Na lady, it does not afflict those devotees. Why? Because for them I am aham, yesham aham, priya, atma, suta, saka, guru, suhrda, daivamishtam. Because for them I am the lover, the atma, the son, the friend, I am the elder, I am their companion or their worshipable deity. Because I relate with them in many of these rasas. And because I am eternal and they desire a relationship with me, so therefore their relationship with me is also eternal. So if their relationship is eternal, then they also get to eternally stay there. My wheel of time, which destroys everything in this material world, does not act on my devotees in the spiritual world. Even in Swarga, when the right time comes, when the punya is exhausted, they are kicked out. But my devotees in Vaikuntha, they can permanently enjoy this relationship with me. And Prabhupada here writes a very beautiful purport. He says that thus, even though one is promoted to the higher planetary system for enjoyment and a long duration of life, still that is not a permanent settlement. But as far as the devotees are concerned, their assets, the achievement of devotional service and the consequent opulence of Vaikuntha, even on this planet, are never destroyed. In this verse, Kapila Dev addresses his mother as Shanta Rupa, indicating that the opulences of devotees are fixed because the devotees are eternally fixed in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, which is called Shanta Rupa, because it is in the mode of pure goodness, undisturbed by the modes of passion and ignorance. Then Prabhupada writes, the reason for freedom from destruction is also described. Why those opulences are not destroyed? He says, the devotee accepts the Supreme Lord as the most dear personality and reciprocate with him in different relationships. They accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the dearmost friend, the dearmost relative, the dearmost son, the dearmost preceptor, the dearmost well-wisher, or the dearmost deity. The Lord is eternal, therefore any relationship in which we accept him is also eternal. It is clearly confirmed herein that the relationships cannot be destroyed, and therefore the opulences of those relationships are never destroyed. So one should not think that going to the spiritual world is like going to Swarga, where one gets to stay only temporarily, like that. So then later Prabhupada writes, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, should be accepted as one's best friend. He will never cheat. He will always give his friendly advice and friendly protection to the devotee. If Krishna is accepted as a son, he will never die. Here we have a very loving son or child, but the father and mother or those who are affectionate towards him always hope, may my son not die. But Krishna actually will never die. Therefore, those who accept Krishna or the Supreme Lord as their son will never be bereft of their son. In many instances, devotees have accepted the deity as a son. In Bengal, there are many such instances, and even after the death of the devotee, the deity performs the Shraddha ceremony for the father. Which deity? Anyone knows? Huh? Go. Antardweep. Agradweep. Acha. Acha. Govinda Ghosh. Acha. So like that. So Prabhupada explains this very nicely, that any relationship that you establish with Krishna, the spiritual world, or even in the material world, is a permanent relationship. And therefore, because the relationship is permanent, then the person also gets to permanently experience that relationship in the spiritual world. So then, one might say, what if I am not able to reach the stage of bhava? Because another quality of bhava is sudurlabha. It's very rare also. What if one, does a sadhaka experience any reciprocation at all? Because you are speaking about reciprocation at the stage of bhava. But most likely, most of the devotees would be at the stage of sadhana bhakti only. And it takes a long time to reach the stage of bhava bhakti. So how does the Lord reciprocate with sadhakas? That also Kapiladev says in these two verses, 39th and 40th verse. He says, Imam lokam tatevamum atmanam ubayayinam atmanam anuryecheha yeraya pashavo grihaha visrijya sarvananyamscha mamevam vishvato mukam bhajantyananyaya bhaktya tanmrityoratiparaye. So he says, visrijya atmanam ubayayinam, giving up attachment to bodily identification, imam lokam tataivamum, which produces the enjoyments in this life and in the next life, visrijya sarvam anyamcha, and also giving up related persons such as wife, sons, wealth, animals, house. Basically, even this practitioner of sadhana bhakti practices anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. Even though it's not that he is free from those desires, but at least he is not praying for the fulfillment of those desires. Otherwise, a sadhaka is not free of material desires. That's not expected also. Then no one can take up to sadhana bhakti. If the condition is that no material desires, only then one can practice sadhana, then no one can practice. So anyabhilashita shunyam for a sadhaka means that not that he is completely free of desires, it means he does not pray for the fulfillment of those desires. He prays for the removal of those desires. He identifies that these desires are an obstacle which need to be removed. He doesn't think that these are the desires which need to be fulfilled. If one thinks like that, then he is a mixed devotee. Otherwise, to say that one has to be absolutely free of any desires to even take up to sadhana bhakti, then no one can take up to sadhana bhakti actually. It's very highly impossible. So, here, anyabhilashita shunyam means that one doesn't pray for the fulfillment of those desires. That's what it means. Otherwise, in the 29th chapter, Kapiladev talks about bhakti in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So there, he says, he uses the word abhisandaya. Abhisandaya means with a desire for fulfilling. So he prays to the Lord to fulfill those desires. But of course, he prays only to the Supreme Lord, no one else. Okay, to fulfill various desires. So they are mixed devotees. They also have Anya Abhilasha, but they pray for the fulfillment of those desires. That's why they are mixed devotees. But a sadhaka, he also has Anya Abhilasha, but he is embarrassed by those desires. He prays for the removal of those desires. Okay. He never prays for the fulfillment of those desires. That's what differentiates a mixed devotee and a sadhaka practicing Uttama Bhakti. So, here also visrijya sarvan anyamscha. Even though it is difficult, he tries to, he gives up all those attachments. Okay. And ananyaya bhaktya mam bhajanti. And with unalloyed devotion, he worships me. How do I reciprocate with them? Tan mrityo ratiparaye. I take them beyond the ocean of birth and death. And of course, he allows them to progress further also in the next life, wherever they left off, you know, they are allowed to progress from there also. Eventually, they come to the stage of bhava and prema and they go back to the spiritual world also. So like that, he encourages the practitioners of sadhana bhakti also, that even practice of sadhana bhakti is, practitioners of sadhana bhakti can also expect reciprocation from Krishna. Of course, we know Klesha, Agni, Shubhada. These are tangible reciprocations which even one at the stage of sadhana bhakti can also experience. So, very much at every stage reciprocation is there. Now, otherwise, it's difficult to practice. If someone says that you keep practicing or you enroll in our institution, enroll your child, so directly he will get a PhD. In between, no certificates. First class pass, second class pass, third class pass. Those certificates he will not get. If he manages to stick with us till PhD, then he will get a PhD degree. Nothing in between. I don't think anyone would put their child in such an institution. Because it's, you know, you never know. We need, you know, some immediate reciprocation, some tangible milestones, you can say. So therefore, Krishna says, okay, Klesha, Agni, Shubhada, you know, those are like very tangible experiences which one can experience even at the stage of sadhana bhakti. Klesha, Agni means destruction of suffering, and Shubhada means bestowal of auspiciousness. So best suffering. he may give suffering provided that person can understand it in the right sense. He doesn't go on giving suffering to all devotees, but he gives the suffering and gives the perspective to gives the vision to see Krishna's hands also. If one is qualified for that, then he gives suffering also. But the point is, destruction of suffering, and Shubhada means, he says four kinds of Shubhada, auspiciousness. One is Sarva Jagatam Anurakta. He becomes very attached to all living entities. He develops affection. He becomes very affectionate to all living entities. And Jagat Preenanam. All living entities become very attached to him. He becomes very attractive. And then Sukha Pradatvam, he starts becoming more and more happy while he is progressing. And Sadgunadi Pradatvam, he starts developing all kinds of good qualities. These are like tangible, things which even a sadhaka can experience. He need not wait till the stage of bhava or prema to experience reciprocation from the Supreme Lord. He can experience even at the stage of sadhana bhakti. The fact that we are experiencing something, that's why we are still sticking to the process for the last at least few years. Otherwise, in Kali Yuga, patience level is very low. So we have to tell ourselves, if we were not experiencing any reciprocation, we would definitely not be practicing it for so long. Definitely not in Kali Yuga. So then, he says that, but understand, my dear mother, that only by practice of Ananya Bhakti, don't mix this devotion with anything else. Make sure. You need not practice anything other than this pure devotional service to achieve all these things. Don't mix this devotional service with anything else. That's what he is indicating here.
Nanyatra madbhagavatah pradana purusheshwarat atmanas sarva bhutanam bhayam tivram nivartate.
So he says, except by devotion to me as Krishna, which is Bhagavan, Rama, the Lord of Vaikuntha, or Purushavataras. So he is telling, the hierarchy. Bhagavataha refers to Krishna. Then Pradhana Purusheshwarat refers to the Vaikuntha deities. Rama, Narsimha, Varaha, etc. And then the Atmanas Sarva Bhutanam. Atmana refers to the super soul. So super souls are the Purushavataras, Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu, Garbhodhaka Sai Vishnu and Karanodhaka Sai Vishnu. One of these forms at least one has to worship in pure devotion. If one worships, bhayam tivram nivartate, one can escape the fear of material existence. So then, we have 2 minutes, so we'll quickly wind up this chapter. Then he says, but one may say that if I worship only the Supreme Lord, then and not worship the devatas, won't they become upset? Because, rain, Indra is responsible, sunlight, Surya is responsible, vegetables and fruits, the nourishment, Soma is responsible. So if I worship only the Supreme Lord and neglect worshipping all these other devatas, won't they become upset? So Kapila Dev says,
Madbayadvati vato yam suryas tapati madbayat varshati indroda hatyagnir mrityus charati madbayat.
He says, what can they do? Madbayadvati vato yam. Because of fear of me, Vayu allows the wind to flow. Suryas tapati madbayat. Sun shines because of fear of me. Varshati Indraha, Indra pours rain because of fear of me. Dahatyagnir, Agnidev heats up something because of fear of me. What to speak of that? Mrityus charati madbayat. Even death personifies, runs away because of fear of me. So basically he is indicating, if because of worshipping me, if you neglect worshipping the demigods, and if they punish you, Kapila Dev says, I will not think twice before removing them from their post. That's how Srila Vishnu Jagad Rakur mentions here, that if someone, if some demigod becomes upset, if you neglect worshipping them because you are worshipping me, you be assured that I will remove them from that post. It almost happened in the case of Indra. So he was left with a warning when he during Govardhan Leela. So then he says, what to speak of pure devotees, even if other practitioners, the Jnana Yogi, Ashtanga Yogis, etc., even if they want reciprocation, they will have to practice bhakti, at least as a part of their practice. He says, Jnana Vairagya Yuktena Bhakti Yuktena Yoginaha Kshemaya Pada Moolam Me Pravishantya Kuto Bayam. So he says, the yogis take shelter of my feet, which is the abode of fearlessness, by bhakti mixed with jnana and vairagya. Jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yogena. And what do they get? Kshemaya. They attain the highest benefit of liberation only by taking shelter of my lotus feet. So even for achieving liberation through the process of jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga, one has to accept bhakti. Tapasvino, dana para, yashasvino, manasvino, mantra vidasu mangala, kshemam navindanti vinaya darpanam, tasmai shubhadra shravase namo. Shukadeva Goswami says that all of these practitioners, they have to practice bhakti if they want to achieve success in their practices. Finally, he ends this chapter by mentioning, but I am not suggesting that you practice all these other practices. Please practice only pure devotional service, because that can give you the highest benefit. Etavan eva lokesmin pumsam nishreya sodayah tivrena bhakti yogena manomai arpitam stiram. Etavan eva lokesmin, asmin loke, in this world, pumsam nishreya sodayah, the highest benefit that any human being can get, can be achieved tivrena bhakti yogena, by only pure devotional service. Manomai arpitam stiram, by offering your mind in me firmly, in pure devotional service only you can get the highest benefit of prema. Even though a practitioner of mixed devotional service can achieve liberation by practicing bhakti as a component of his practice, but still if one practices pure unalloyed devotional service, he can get the highest benefit of prema. So like that, Kapila Dev ends this instructions to Devahuti. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.